Welcome to The Daily Drive. This show is dedicated to keeping you educated, informed, and most importantly, driven to succeed. We want your feedback, so call us at 1-800-437-5121. Everyone on The Daily Drive Show team hopes you enjoy this show. Here's your host, Ken Knorr.
Welcome to The Daily Drive. I hope that you are having an incredible day, an incredible week, that everything is going exactly the way that you want it to. I hope that your attitude is infectious to those around you. Today, we get an opportunity to meet with Martin Berenger. And Martin Berenger is the CEO of Neptune Software. And I think you're really going to enjoy this interview. I know I did. And we're going to pick up right at the beginning with Martin. Martin, welcome to the show. So glad to have you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. It's a privilege.
You are the CEO, the U.S. CEO for Neptune Software. Tell us a little bit about Neptune Software. What is Neptune Software and what do you guys do?
Well, Neptune Software is a company that has a digital experience platform that allows rapid application development for the enterprise. And I know that's a mouthful, so I'd be happy to go into as much detail of that as you would like me to.
Who uses Neptune Software development platform?
Fortune 500 companies, so without mentioning too many logos here, but basically the largest companies that you can picture are customers of Neptune Software, and the vast majority of them also use SAP. I don't know if you're familiar with SAP as an ERP platform, and we develop applications.
You can lay on top of ERP and enterprise resource platforms to help them develop applications for the operations of their company. Is it a platform that would be used in-house, or do you guys do the development on the platform as well, or a mix of both? How's that work?
So what sets us apart is that Neptune can actually be installed on-premise at the customer, right? And everything is going towards the cloud nowadays, and sometimes enterprises are forced to go to the cloud before they're ready, right? They have terabytes of data on-premise, and they aren't always comfortable moving all the stuff into the cloud. So, you know, Neptune allows them to build applications to revolutionize the user experience, you know, in a modern way, because if you look at these enterprise systems, they've been around forever. You know, it could be anything as old as a mainframe from IBM to SAP, and now you get all these new cloud-based solutions like Salesforce, and everything looks and feels different, and it's all kind of cluttered and messy, right? So what they can do with Neptune is they can unify all that, and they can choose to keep that unification on-premise and power it on-prem, or they can move it into the cloud, but at their own pace, and that's the key thing.
Oh, that's pretty cool. One of the things that I read on when I look at Neptune Software's website, which is that you talk about low code. What does that mean, low code?
So low code is actually just that, sort of sitting there and developing applications natively, right? So natively could be .NET, could be Java, it could be any number of programming languages. The problem with that is that it is basically all hand-typed code, and it could be thousands of lines of it. And just as an author writes a book, you know, everyone is different. Everybody has their own writing style, right? So even though syntactically the code can only be written in one way, there is so many different ways you can actually execute on that, right? So the thing is, at the end of the day, companies are sort of in the hands of their developers, right? And if a developer ends up getting, you know, $10,000 a year or more at another company, they might up and leave and leave their code behind, and now somebody else has to go in and make sense of all that. And that code may or may not be commented properly. So now the new guy is sitting here trying to figure out, how do I improve on this? How do I extend this? And they could be stuck. So what low code does, it kind of puts it into an organized tree where you can, you know, see how everything is nested properly. And you click on something and say you want to change a button. You click on a button, it shows you where that lives in the code, and then you just go in and you make your change. And all the applications look the same. It doesn't matter if they run on a Windows, on an Android, or an iOS. It's just all structured the same way.
It really does make for really the piece that I'm hearing is too, not only where you're picking up the pieces when you have changes in your staff, but really provide some shortcuts as well for rapid development.
Yeah. Now, if you compare this, see, I mean, ever since the inception of iPhones and, you know, mobile devices, what's happened is that people that have grown up with those from the younger days, like the millennials, they're used to having, you know, delightful, easy-to-use apps at their fingertips from early childhood, right? And now those guys are going into the workforce, and they're looking at all this old stuff, and it turns them off almost immediately, and they almost want to quit and walk out right then and there, right? So consumerization is driving this, because if you look at the Ubers and the Facebook apps and the Snapchat apps, you know, they've been out there forever, but the enterprise is really lagging behind in this. And this is what low code is coming in to drive that revolution to get the enterprise to catch up.
So you've been the CEO here in the US since 2015.
Correct.
When you joined the organization, did they have a US based operation at that time? Were you responsible for building it from the ground up? I know that the company is a Norwegian-based company. So was this their first venture into the U.S., or were you kind of coming and taking over?
I pretty much started from scratch over here. You know, we had some customers in the U.S. That were basically closed from Norway, and, you know, remotely. We had no offices or, you know, boots on the ground in the U.S. So I started the operations here in November of 2015, when we had a whopping 4 customers in the U.S. Now we got 40, and of course that's pretty exponential growth in the meantime, especially given the size of those companies.
Well, and it absolutely is when you talk about your target customer, Fortune 500s, to move from 4 to 40 in that target space, that's pretty good movement. That's not like going out and getting mom and pop shops. You've gone out and had some pretty big acquisitions as far as the sales growth for your organization. So is your portion of the U.S., is it primarily sales focus? Is it, have you got developers as well?
Well, the U.S. is primarily a sales operation. And of course, sales, you need the, you know, pre-sales and you need to be able to support your customers. So we do have technical mm-hmm. staff in the U.S., of course, to be able to support our customers and go on site. You know, it's not uncomplex what we do, right? And that's just because enterprise software is complex and there is no way to, you know, get around that. Otherwise, they'd all be using QuickBooks instead of SAP because they have complex problems to solve. So we have to have good brains on our side. But yeah, primarily the reason for our existence is to spread the footprint on the sales side into the U.S. or North American market.
Building a team right from scratch, that is a pretty good challenge to be presented to newly minted CEO. And bringing in an organization that doesn't have a lot of exposure at that point with only 4 customers in the U.S., how did you go about building your team? What was your key to success on finding the right team members to bring along?
That's a really good question, right? And, you know, before coming here, I've been in the food manufacturing industry for 13 years, and you come in into giant companies that have a management culture in place, and you kind of, you know, fit in, use the systems that are there, and, you know, adapt to the culture that's there. But the privilege of starting something from scratch is that you get to build your own culture. And with that, the hardest thing is finding the first 2 or 3 people that you're going to hire to bring on as the beginnings of what I would call a family, because those people are going to dictate what the culture is going to be like when this baby scales. And that's the point where we're at right now. So finding those first few was not easy, but we lucked out, and we had a very tight core that's helping us to shape this company now.
How would you describe your culture? What defines the culture of Neptune Software here in the U.S.?
I think being focused on relationships is the most important thing that I see. And then the golden rule, I think, is not going out of style anytime soon. So, I want to make sure that I treat the folks the way I would like to be treated. And we have open door. We're pretty flat. So if, I need to have a talk with someone, I can do that. And if they need to have a talk with me, they just simply come in and we chat. And I'm not always right, actually quite frequently wrong. And, it's that open dialogue back and forth that helps us, right? And I think that sometimes in siloed organization that gets lost.
That's great to hear that you said I'm not always right, I'm actually often wrong. And there's an old expression that says the expert is the man who has made the most mistakes in his field. So the way you become an expert is to be wrong, figure that out, and move on from it. Again, kind of circling back to that culture, do you have a particular methodology you use in an interview style? How do you find the people that are going to fit that focus on relationships, the golden rule? How do you find those people? What's your method?
I wish I could tell you I was all scientific about it. I've worked for many multi-billion dollar companies before where you participate in interviews, and also you are interviewed as you come into companies, and they all have these recipes where they ask the star questions, situation, task, action, and result, which basically means, if you're in this situation, what would you do, and what's the outcome, or have you ever been in a situation like this, and what would you do, and what was the outcome, right? There's so many ways you can go about it. I prefer to try to get to know a human being at the core of who they are, because the thing is, we're going to spend a lot of time together. This is an entrepreneurial environment, right? We're going to be in the office 8 hours a day, and then we're going to go home, and we're going to probably work another 4 hours after, and maybe a couple hours before we get to work. So it makes for a long work day. We're going to spend a lot of time together. So first of all, you actually got to see yourself wanting to work with this person on a day-to-day basis, right? So from a cultural standpoint, you have to be able to get along. And then, of course, you talk about a lot of the same questions that you just asked me. You try to get to know a person based on, the experiences that have shaped them, because we're all who we are because of the experiences we've gone through in life. So most of the time, I just have people tell me about their walk, what they've done, why do they think the way they do, right? And then poke into a little bit more of the specifics of experiences and situations they've been in. And then it really comes down to a giant dose of gut feel as well. How do you feel about a person after you shake their hand and see them off?
A lot of CEOs I've talked to look back and say, I should have just trusted my gut on that one. And it's good to hear you say sometimes it comes down to it takes sometimes a while for us to develop that trust with ourselves. I am going to hit you with those rapid fire questions. So here we go. In one word, characterize your life as a CEO.
Relationships.
I love it. Married or single?
Married.
How long, just out of curiosity?
Going 14 years.
Congratulations. That's awesome. 14 years is no short accomplishment. That is a serious accomplishment in this day and age. I think you've probably seen more fail than succeed. Dinner and a movie out, or dinner at home and Netflix?
Depends on the mood, really, but probably more of a homebody, so dinner, movie at home, and Netflix.
Fair enough. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
Why?
I just watched it a lot when I was in college, and I actually love both. So I don't dislike Star Wars. I just like Star Trek better, because I've seen that on a day-to-day basis, we actually see our technology headed into that direction, right? Actually, some of the technology we use nowadays is sexier even than the stuff you saw in Star Trek, which is amazing.
There was a show, I don't remember if I'm going to get probably a butcher the title, but it was like on the Discovery Channel or History Channel or something like that. It was the things Captain Kirk made come true, the things they were predicting, and how they became reality, the flip open communicator. And we've gone past the flip open communicator. Flip phones are long dead, right? You're a new addition to the crayon box. What color would you be?
Yellow.
Why yellow?
My favorite color. Always has been.
What would you name it? It's a new one. Can't just be yellow. Yellow's taken.
Oh, okay. It can't be yellow.
Well, you can name it. It can be a shade of yellow, but What would you call it?
I know, that's a tough one. That exercises my creative muscle right here.
Totally not the questions you were thinking about you were going to get interviewed on today, I bet. You didn't start your day. I've got an interview today at 2 o'clock, and it's going to be about what color. What are your hobbies?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a thrill seeker, but I also getting up there a little bit older. So I used to skydive quite heavily back when I lived in Missouri. My first job out of college was in Missouri, so I got a few hundred jumps in on that. I love sports in general, so I mean, play tennis quite extensively. But now in Florida, I'm close to the ocean, so sailing is my new hobby. I just got a sailboat, my first one in my life. Obviously, don't have near as much time on it as I wish I could, but it's there for the taking if I have time.
Did you say you're in Florida? I had no idea. You're here in Florida?
Yeah, I've been in Florida. Yeah.
Whereabouts in Florida?
I'm in Stuart. Yeah,
oh, I know where Stuart. Yeah,
just, yeah, 2 minutes north of West Palm.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's too cold right now. I know what's going on. This is not Florida that I know. It's like what?
Yeah, but it's a nice breeze blowing, which is good for sailing.
Well, you're a little further south, so that breeze may be a little bit warmer up here this morning. It was like in the upper 30s, and I'm like, this is not right. If it gets any colder, I'm going to move to Florida is kind of what my ongoing line and joke. Well, congratulations on the new sailboat. I mean, you say newer, how big? What do you got?
It's a 36-foot Beneteau.
Oh, nice. That's not a little sailboat by any means. That's a pretty nice ship. What makes you happy?
You know, quality time with the people I care about, especially, of course, family. And I'm not the one who has a lot of friends, but once I'm close to, you know, finding time with them. And then usually it involves some kind of an activity. You know, I'm an activity guy. So, you know, skiing with my best friends up in Wisconsin. I used to be on ski patrol up there. That's just as close to bliss as you can get for me. And then, you know, being out with my family on the sailboat, out in nature, breathing some fresh air. That's pretty awesome.
Well, we just don't have enough time, as usual, to get an entire interview into 15 minutes. There's just so much great information that comes out of these CEOs, especially like Martin. And we're going to pick up where we left off tomorrow. So please join the Daily Drive tomorrow for the continuation of our interview with Martin Berger of Neptune Software. We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening, and thanks to our sponsor, That Company.
Why is That Company the white label digital marketing provider for some of the biggest agencies in the industry? Because we get results, we retain clients, and we deliver profitability. Visit www.thatcompany.com to find out how we can make your agency more profitable.
If you want to give us feedback, call us now at 1-800-437-5121 or drop by dailydriveshow.com. Make sure you add us to your Alexa daily briefing skill. Don't forget that you can listen to us live every day on WQBQ at 7:30 a.m. The show wouldn't be possible without the Daily Drive Show team, executive producer Jake Perrick, web guru Taj Royer, and the audio man with the plan, Shoddy. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow.